الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز من عمل منكم صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر وليس الذكر كالأنثى وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله By the infinite grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been fortunate to be blessed with the arrival of the sacred and noble month of Ramadan, within which we have been reaping the rewards during the days and nights of Ramadan. So all praise and all glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us this tawfiq, this ability to praise Him, to glorify Him, to worship Him, to submit and surrender to Him, to purify our hearts and to realign our soul and to enable us to once again enter into the gardens of paradise. And may the peace and blessings of our noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam be upon him and his family and the noble companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this glorious day, on this beautiful, noble day, and this beautiful and sacred month of Ramadan. And may our attendance become a means for our forgiveness and our purification and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. The beautiful month of Ramadan is a month of the beginning of Islam, because this is when the revelation of Islam began. This is when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam descended from the highest of the heavens and embraced the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is also a month within which the Battle of Badr took place, a month within which the conquest of Makkah also took place, a month of which the passing of Sayyida Khadijat al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha also took place, and also the passing away of the beloved heart the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So many significant events took place within this beautiful and noble month, and today inshallah al-Aziz, as we just passed by the return of Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha to her Lord, we will inshallah al-Aziz discuss this topic on the day of Jumu'ah. So Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha is known as the Princess of Paradise. And this was a title, this was a nobility and honor bestowed upon her via the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which was a bashara given to her by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to her sacrifices, due to her taqwa, due to her tahara, and due to her service to the deen of Islam and also to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So if she is noble from her lineage, from her blood, but she's also noble due to her actions, due to her a'mal, due to her sacrifices inherently for the things that she did. Because a person just can't look at the nobility that they have through their blood and lineage, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather looks at their actions. This is the criterion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. But alhamdulillah, from both sides, from the lineage as well as from the actions, she was the most pure of all of the daughters of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in the sense that she spent the most time with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and she was in the service of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more than her other siblings. So she is the noble and blessed daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and Ummahatul Mu'mineen, our mother Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And this is important and significant for us to recognize and for us to discuss. Why? Because in a society, I'm talking about the Meccan society, and even today, many things are quite prevalent, but in a society where girls were buried, why? Because they thought that these girls cannot benefit us in any manner. Girls were buried by those people. They were often ignored by society and by their own family members. They were unloved and they were discarded by their own society and family members. In this type of society, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who came to transform not just the aqidah, the belief system of humanity, but also came to transform society and their social norms and what was acceptable and unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came to challenge all of these norms of society and say, no, this is how you should be as a father. This is how you should be as a leader, as a mother, as a son, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a community, as a human being. This is how you should deal with one another. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in this regard, he exemplified and he demonstrated to us how we should respect and treat our beloved daughters. So much so the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the person who has a daughter has double barakah descending into his home for the arrival of that daughter. Subhanallah. We always think we should have boys, because we have this illusion in our minds that, oh, those boys are going to protect us and safeguard us and they're going to take care of us. But the reality is, and you know all of this reality, that it is always our daughters who are at the forefront. When you are ill, when you are sick, when you are tired, when you are going through difficulties, it is our daughters who sit with us. It is the daughters who sacrifice their time and everything for the sake of their parents, not the sons. They do their job as well, but more due to their heart and due to their fitrah, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them, that they are more emotionally attached to us. And we should appreciate this great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is double barakah, double reward descending into your homes with the arrival of a daughter. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in various other hadith mentioned that whosoever raises two girls, in other narrations mentioned three girls, and Sahabi asked, what if you only have one girl? And he said, even if you have one daughter, or you have two daughters, or you have three daughters, but if you raise your daughters in the best of manners, you treat them justly, honorably, you give them respect and honor, you treat them with kindness and compassion and love and mercy, you give them good tarbiyah, you give them good akhlaq and values, and you teach them the deen of Islam, then that father and that mother will enter with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam into paradise, just like these two fingers are. This is how close you will be with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. Why? Due to your treatment, due to your honor, due to your respect of your daughters. Yes, they are your flesh and they are your blood, but in spite of that, we don't always necessarily treat our daughters in the same way that we treat our sons. Our sons get away with so much in their behavior, in where they go and who they go out with, then for what time they are out until middle of the night and even all night. We tolerate that, but we don't tolerate the same for our daughters. We have this double, triple standards for our daughters. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was really trying to level the playing field and try to remind us the importance of treating our daughters, their upbringing, their tarbiyah, their akhlaq, and what the great reward there is waiting for those people who fulfill their duty towards their daughters, just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, and just the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam illustrated himself within his life. So much so, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would never shy away from expressing his feelings and his emotions and his attachment to his beloved daughter Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He would say that Fatima is a part of me. Just the way we heard the ahadith of Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn, he would say this as well for his beloved daughter, that Fatima is a part of me, an integral part of me, not just through the DNA and through the blood, but she is a part of me, a reflection of me. And if you read the books of the fada'il and the virtues of the Sahaba ikram as well as the Ahl Bayt, you will see how much she resembled the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and how radiant she was. Hence why she got that title, Az-Zahra, being radiant in her face, illuminating just the way the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was. She reflected the beauty of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Fatima Az-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha was a part of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, just like our daughters are a part of us. And if you care for them, and if you nurture them, and if you take care of them in the best of manners, then they will show you off to the rest of the world, and more importantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the best of manners, that this is my father, this is my mother, this is how they brought me up in the best of manners. Whoever upsets Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala and has indeed upsetted the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and whoever harms her has also harmed the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So an indirect threat as well from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was very possessive and protective over his own daughter. And this is how we should be as well, as fathers, as family members, as siblings, as brothers and sisters over our daughters and mothers and sisters. We should always realize that their honor is our honor, their protection is far more important than our own, and their izzat and their maqam is extremely important, and we are duty bound to take care of them in the best of manners. So we must protect our daughters, we must honor them, we must tell them that they are beautiful at every single stage of their life. And the reason why I say this now is because our children have this huge complex, this inferiority complex, this identity complex of how beautiful they are, how they look, how they are perceived by the world, because society and the media and celebrities say, this is how you should be, this is how you should look, this is how you should dress, this is how you should behave. But no, if the parent, if the mother and the father and the siblings are constantly reinforcing in their daughters and in their sisters that you are beautiful inherently within yourself and also externally as well, and this is how you should present yourself, and we are happy with this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you in this way, reinforcing them and their identity, giving them that boost, giving them that confidence, then we will bring up wholesome children, wholesome daughters, and our children will reflect Sayyidah Khadija al-Kubra, they will reflect the principles and values of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the likes of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and all of the great Sahaba ikram and the Sahabiyat. But we have to do that. We have to reassure them and nurture them and protect them and make sure that we give them that boost and that protection for them to grow and develop, and protect them from the society, and also at times protect them from themselves. So encourage them to be active in their community. Don't just say, oh, ikurina kamniaga, as they say in our language. This is not the job of a girl. You stay here, you sit here, you don't do anything. Your brother will do this, your father will do this. No. They are an equal part of society. Women and men have been created in pairs to complete humanity. One without the other is incomplete. So we need to, within the parameters of Sharia, we need to encourage their active participation in their community, in their homes, and also within their societies as well. And we, as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as siblings, as cousins, we need to be the best example of what men should be towards their daughters. And we learn from the best of all creation, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha was married to none other than the great Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala and she gave birth to the princes and the leaders of Jannah, Sayyid al-Shabab Ahli Jannah, none other than Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. How is this? Because she learned from the best of creation, and she embodied all of his principles, and she took all of her actions to do those actions that pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and truly followed and mirrored the life of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then she produced something beautiful like Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. For those people in the computer world, if you have a corrupt file and you copy that corrupt file over, it will only be corrupt again and again and again. But if you have a sound file and you copy it over, it will be sound. So we, if we perfect ourselves and we make our hearts and our souls sound, and we purify ourselves as mothers, as daughters, as sisters, as brothers, as husbands, as fathers, then when we make our offspring, when we produce the next generation, then they will have a better chance of survival. They have the better chance of showing what the true beauty of Islam is, what truly Islam teaches us about respecting our elders, especially taking care of our daughters and our sisters. So the Quran is not just there for the men, it is equally there, sent there for all of humanity, and including women. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. So that believing man and woman, the devout man and the woman, and the true men and the true women, and the patient men and the patient women, and those who humble themselves, inclusive the men and the women, all of those who have these qualities and these virtues, all of those people who practice their deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is for them equally distributed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and pardon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward is there for all of them. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْسَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whosoever out of a male or a female carries out righteous and honorable actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them an honorable life in this dunya, but more importantly give them an honorable life in the hereafter. We want honor for our children. When we see our daughters are mistreated by their husbands or by their in-laws or by their other family members or friends, we say, how dare you? But ask yourself the question, how have you been treating your daughter since the time she came into your home before you wed her off and said, Chalo Jao, you're somebody else's responsibility. How did you used to treat her? How did you used to embrace her? How did you used to communicate with her? What kind of love and affection did you used to show? Did you ever follow the example of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, from a very young age, she was very close with her father. And this is how we need to be with our children, especially our daughters. She was only 5 years old when the revelation began onto the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and therefore she grew up in this very, very beautiful environment of Islam, of the beauty of Islam, of understanding who she was and understanding her father. So from a young age, don't you say, oh, my son will be 5 or my daughter will be 5 and then they'll go to the madrasa, then they'll go to the masjid and they'll learn about their deen. No, from the time that your children are born and they have some form of understanding, you need to start teaching them the importance of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah azza wa jal is, why we believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we are as Muslims, and solidify their iman and their aqidah and their belief slowly and incrementally, so that when they come up and they grow up, they don't have this like, who am I? What do I believe? But they know from a young age that this is exactly who they are and what they believe. So our children can also grow up in Islam if we practice our deen, and if we demonstrate the beauty of our deen via the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If you see the concern and the love of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha for her father, once the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Makkah al-Mukarramah was doing sajda in front of the Kaaba, worshipping none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mushrikeen of Makkah, they came and they threw all of the garbage that they could find on the back of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was not enough, they also found the intestines of animals and they came and they threw that upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. In another instant they even tried to strangle him with the intestines of those animals, and Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she immediately saw this and she ran to her father just like any other daughter would, but she ran in a different manner. Why? Because she knew who her father was. How much do our children know who we are? Do they just see us, oh, this is my father and that's it? Or do they actually see some other beauty within you, that this is an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the lover of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, this is a person who lives in lives on principle, this is a person who is good to me and honorable towards me. What do they see in you? Will they come to your aid? Will they run to you? Just like Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha did. But look at how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reassures his daughter. He says, don't cry, oh my daughter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help your father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to your father. We can succeed with our daughters. We can succeed with our family members if we constantly realign our hearts and remind them that all victory, all success comes from Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no matter the difficulty, the challenges that come in our life, if we constantly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know, ala inna nasrullahi qareeb, that the nasr, which is the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come and it is very, very close to us. So after Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyidina Abu Talib, when they both passed away, it was the duty, she took it upon herself, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, who would go and cook for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, constantly come to the aid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, comfort him, care for him, so much so that she immersed herself and she completely reflected the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in her character. And therefore she was described by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as the princess and the leader of the women in paradise. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would never shy away from sharing his feelings and his emotions and secrets with his daughter. And this is something that we as fathers, we often neglect. We don't really share, we struggle to share with even with our spouse, to be honest, let alone our daughters or our, you know, sons. We say, you know, there's no point telling them, want to keep her down, what do they care, what can they do? But no, sharing is a very important part of unloading and making things easy, and also enabling other people to understand who you are, why you behave in a certain manner, and what is going on in your heart and also in your mind. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, even on his deathbed, when he was about to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called his own daughter and he said, I will not survive this illness. And she began to cry. She became very, very upset. But then he called her back a second time and he said that, don't worry, you'll be the first one to join me in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la, and you will see me again, reassuring his daughter that yes, as fathers, we can share our concerns, our problems and our worries with our daughters, but then also give them hope, also give them yakin, give them something that, don't worry, we will do this together, we will get through this together, we will still be united as a family, as a unit. This is very important things to learn from the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and tasbih that we read so often on a daily basis, we often overlook where it actually came from and how it originated. And this is actually the tasbih of Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. When she went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to ask for additional assistance within her home, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam said, I'll give you something far better, far superior, that will replenish your energy and your zeal and make you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time you do it, you'll be planting trees within Jannatul Firdaus. Read the tasbihat, subhanallah, which we do 33 times after salah, alhamdulillah, which we do 33 times after salah, and Allahu Akbar, which we do 34 times. Do this after every salah, do this before you go to sleep, and you'll be reinvigorated, you'll be full of energy and zeal, and you'll be able to achieve so much more. This is a great gift given from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to his daughter. So what are the gifts that we give? Not just about the money that you give when it's her birthday, or the clothes that you buy here and there. What other invaluable gifts are you giving them in terms of nasiha, in terms of wisdom, in terms of hope, in terms of guidance, in terms of the future and the hereafter? What are we giving? Or are you just focusing on the worldly, materialistic things for your daughters? Think of something much more profound, much more everlasting. Give them hidayah, give them tarbiyah, give them akhlaq, give them the deen, give them the Quran, give them the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So how much time do we actually spend with our children within the day? I'm not just talking about being in the same house, in the same home at the same time, but actually how much time do you spend together, qualitative time, sitting with your children, sitting with your daughter, sitting with your son? How much time do you spend? You can ask yourself that. You can answer that question yourself. But the studies actually show that the average working father only spends around 13 minutes of time with their children. Quality minute, because by the time you wake up, you're off to work, you come back, you're tired, and majority of us send our kids off to the madrasa, and by the time they come back, eat your food, do your homework and get to bed. Where's the actual conversation, the dialogue, the quality time, the recap, the review, the reflection of how your day was, how her day was, what she's going through, what challenges she saw in school, how she's feeling emotionally, all of the biological changes that are taking place within her body, the things that are changing in her mind, the challenges with her peers, with society, with the media, all of those things. Where are those conversations? When are they happening? They're not, to be honest. It's just, get up, have you done this? Yes. Did you read? Yes. Did you eat? Yes. Pretty much it's yes, no, okay, go to bed now. Sirna Khal. This is what it really is like. In another study, he actually said 13 minutes, and in this study, he said 3 minutes. So, the point is, we have to really bring ourselves to account. We have to spend that quality time with our children. If we don't do that, then somebody else will be having those conversations with our daughters. And then when you see them slip away, when you see them going away from the deen, when you see them doubting their deen, or their culture, or their society, or their own identity, you'll only have yourself to blame for, because you weren't there. You were there passively, you were there just in the background, but you weren't actually there. We have to be active parents. And this is the lesson of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He was actively there for his daughters, for his sons, for his family members, actively there for his neighbors, for the friends, for the ummah. He was always there and present, present in his mind, present in his heart. So this is something that we really need to focus on. How much quality time do you spend with your children? Show your children in simple ways that you actually love them, and express your love. And this is very important. I know as Asians, we find it very hard to say, Putar, my beta, my beti, I love you. You find it, sometimes you think, oh my God, I can't say that, It's really hard to kind of fathom for Asians. But this is not something which is unfounded. The Prophet ﷺ would express his love verbally and physically for his family members, even for the Sahaba ikram. So the Prophet ﷺ would stand up for his daughter, show her honor and izzah and waqar. He would kiss her on her forehead. He would embrace her. He would take her hand, and then he would give her his seat. How many of us actually do that? But we expect from our children, when we're older, when we come, why didn't you wake up, stand up for your father? Why didn't you stand up for your mother? Why didn't you show this kind of behavior and izzat for your parents? When we have never shown that to them, so how can they do something that they've never been taught, that they've never seen, that they've never actually felt themselves? So express your love, show them that you love them, kiss them, hug them, embrace them, sit them in your lap, show them the way the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would show his love for his beloved daughters and for his family members. Share your secrets with them just the way the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam did, depending on their age and their ability. Play with your children. It's a very important part of engaging with your children, having this deeper connection with your child. Let your children help you with your tasks. And the Prophet ﷺ would work together with his family members, and they would do things collectively, not like, don't give up, you stay away, you're just going to end up breaking it or messing it all up. No, do things together. It brings you closer, your hearts closer, your souls closer, and give them great character. Give them those values and principles of the deen that we have been commanded to give them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Remove this concept in our mind that our male is very different from a female, and use this to kind of distinguish between males and females and how you treat them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does mention وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْسَى in the Qur'an, but we always misinterpret this. We should celebrate and understand that the fact of men and women are different, yes, biologically, but they were both still created uniquely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to appreciate the differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within them, because the mercy, the forgiveness and the compassion, the care and concern that the daughter has, a son will never have, trust me. You know this reality as well. So don't marginalize your children or differentiate between your children just because of their physical ability, but know, make sure that you compliment them. Make sure that you realize and appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted you with. Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha was a business tycoon of her time. Sayyidah Umm Salama, she gave the most important advice to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at Sulha Hudaybiyah, when nobody was listening to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Hafsa, she would give vital advice to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where we take at least a quarter of our deen from, very, very important things and on fiqh, especially of women. She commented so much on the ahadith, and she gave so much to the deen. Sayyidah Amra binti Abdul Rahman, she was an expert in finance as well. And Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, and who was the jewel of all of these women. She's a princess of Jannah via her taqwa, via her service and her honor and her worship. But how did she get to that particular stage? Because she was developed, she was nurtured, she was given all of this by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who was her father. Your daughters can become great as well when you nurture them and honor them and respect them just the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did. Inshallah al-Aziz, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to act upon these things.